Chapter 11. The Gawker Article. The Cafe Grumpy coffee shop in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, looked like every other hipster enclave in America. Laptop screens glowed while headphones blared silently into people's ears. The men and women who sat sipping overpriced coffee wore the uniform of hipster Brooklyn, skin-tight jeans, and bohemian tattoos that crawled up their arms and across their fingers. Outside was the industrial wasteland of McGinnis Avenue, the thoroughfare that connected Brooklyn and Queens above the sewage-laced Newtown Creek. Chop shops and gas stations lined the streets. A few trendy condos were going up, a sign that this subset of creative types, who huddled around their laptops each day, were an endangered species too. For now, though, they were the linchpins of the gentrifying neighborhood, this rump state, and Cafe Grumpy was its capital. Most of the people in that coffee shop were writers trying to learn how to blog, or bloggers trying to learn how to write. A new class of creatives, living their own unique American dream, freelancing and hoping to be read by someone, somewhere. Amid these writers sat Adrian Chen, a young Asian man, seemingly lost in his own world at his laptop, as he scrolled through a long discussion on a web forum. The chatter he was reading, with skepticism and disbelief, was about a website on the dark web that was being labeled the Amazon for drugs. On the forum, some people complained that this website, called the Silk Road, was dangerous, that selling heroin on the internet could kill people who didn't know how to use H, or that this new drug bazaar could give the new digital currency, Bitcoin, a bad name, while others contended that this site might make buying drugs safer, and that it perfectly took advantage of online anonymity in a way that had never been done before. But Adrian thought something entirely different. This has to be a hoax. After all, he knew the underbelly of the internet better than almost any writer alive. He had been a blogger for Gawker, a New York-based gossip site, for almost 2 years. While working the weekend and graveyard shifts, he had become synonymous with finding and writing about trolls and hackers online. He trod through the dark, dangerous side of the web and brought back stories of people doing crazy, fucked-up things. But was anyone really crazy enough to set up a website like this? He wondered. Adrian knew there was only one way to find out. He downloaded Tor and navigated to the Silk Road. And sure enough, someone was. You could buy any drug imaginable, he saw. By his count, 343 different kinds of drugs, to be precise. Black tar heroin, Afghan hash, some sour 13 weed, and ecstasy. All for street prices, in some instances less expensive than street. You simply traded some cash for bitcoins, traded some bitcoins for drugs, and waited for the U.S. Postal Service to deliver your drugs. Adrian was skeptical, though, that if the Silk Road was real, anyone would actually buy drugs on the site. He registered an account on the forums under the username Adrian802. 802 was his area code from Connecticut, where he had grown up. He then posted a query asking if anyone would mind being anonymously interviewed for a story he was going to write about this defiant website. He received some responses, then a man's phone number, and while pacing on the sidewalk outside Grumpy, he interviewed Mark, a software developer, about what it was like to buy drugs on the internet.
It kind of felt like I was in the future, Mark said over the phone, explaining that he'd ordered 10 tabs of LSD from someone in Canada, and 4 days later the mailman dropped the acid off at his house. Another person responded to Adrian's query too, the person who apparently ran the Silk Road.
As the Silk Road had grown, Ross's anxiety had expanded at an equal clip. When he had first posted anonymous messages on forums less than 5 months earlier,
he had been oblivious to just how quickly it would drive people to the site. At first, it was a trickle of customers, a few dozen here or there. But since he had shut down Good Wagon Books, his drug website had rapidly grown. Hundreds of people were now selling drugs on the site, and thousands were buying. Ross was making money from his enterprise, too. The mushrooms, most of which he had offloaded, had turned into a hefty profit of tens of thousands of dollars. All of this came with a mixture of exhilaration and fear, and Ross had been in a constant state of worry, fretful that maybe Julia was right, that he could be tied to his creation. He constantly had to reassure himself that no one would ever be able to connect him with the Silk Road. That was, except for two people. Weeks earlier, Ross had been left with no choice but to tell his old college buddy Richard that he was the founder of the Amazon of Drugs, as Richard had refused to help anymore without an explanation. "Tell me about this or leave me out of it," Richard wrote to Ross over chat. "I'm officially forbidding you from mentioning your secret project to me again unless you're going to reveal it." Without Richard's expertise, Ross was completely and utterly fudged. If the site went down, Ross would be abandoned alone in a dark and complex maze. So he was left with no choice but to come clean. At first, Richard was shocked. After Ross explained his thinking behind the site, Richard agreed to continue to help. It didn't hurt that Ross gave his old pal a few baggies of his specialty magic mushrooms as a big thank you. And that Richard started shopping on the site, buying ecstasy, weed, Vicodin, and some prescription antibiotics. Richard was a germaphobe, so he relished the ability to get medicine without a doctor's note. And finally, Richard was confident, given that he had helped write the code, that nothing could be tied back to them. But reassuring Julia that he wasn't in danger was a completely different challenge for Ross. Over the past 2 months, the two had started fighting constantly about the Silk Road. There were now hundreds of people signing up for accounts every week, and Julia worried that Ross, whom she one day hoped to marry, could be caught and spend the rest of his life in prison. "It's secure," Ross assured Julia, explaining how uncrackable Tor was and how bitcoins were completely anonymous. "It's safe. Trust me. No one can ever figure it out. It's me behind the site." But the cautionary voice of Julia gnawed at him, and to be sure that he was covering his tracks properly, and knowing full well how limited his programming skills were, Ross decided to explore hiring other experts, besides Richard, to rewrite some new security protocols on the site. He posted a job listing on the Silk Road, and some anti-government programmers were happy to help in the battle to stop the man, part-time and for a fee. Ross's website hadn't received any press yet, which was surprising, given the chatter on some forums, though he wasn't entirely sure he was ready for any. Yet the time had come. Someone with the username Adrian802 had been sniffing around the site, telling Silk Road customers he was working on a story for Gawker about the Silk Road. Ross knew he couldn't stop the story, so he figured it was best to message Adrian802. He was polite and grateful for the interest, voicing his belief that the Silk Road was making it safer for people to buy drugs. "Our community is amazing," Ross wrote, under the guise of the anonymous administrator of the Silk Road. Then, completely oblivious to the consequences, Ross decided to go full bore with Adrian802 and took the opportunity to get his libertarian message out, explaining that the site was going to show the government that it was flat out wrong to deny people their rights. "Stop funding the state with your tax dollars and direct your productive energies into the black market," he wrote to Adrian. He didn't foresee that this kind of message would have vast, and grim consequences. At 4:20 p.m. on June 1st, 2011, Adrian sat at Cafe Grumpy, sipped his black coffee, and watched as his blog post about the Silk Road went live. The title read, "The Underground Website Where You Can Buy Any Drug Imaginable." The article began, "Making small talk with your pot dealer sucks. Buying cocaine can get you shot. What if you could buy and sell drugs online like books or light bulbs? Now you can. Welcome to Silk Road."